This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you alongside my co-host Gino Camilleri, 4 to 6 episodes a week, downloaded into your phone when you subscribe to the Locked On Eagles podcast. This is episode 2 this week. If you missed me and Gino's game recap, the Eagles lose 30-28 on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens to drop to 1-4-1 in the season. We got deep into that matchup yesterday on the show, so you can find that episode on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. Coming up on today's edition of the show, of course, since it's Tuesday, it's stock up, stock down. Although the Eagles lost, there were some good things to take away in the second half. We'll talk about who looked good and who gave them a chance to win that football game outside of Carson Wentz, of course, because we're going to get deep into Wentz tomorrow on Wentz Wednesday. And at the same time, who are the key reasons this Eagles team now has lost 4 of their first 6 games. So that's coming up on today's edition of the show. Gino, before we get into that, though, I've seen this discussion being tossed back and forth on Twitter, on Eagles Twitter, this morning, because the Dallas Cowboys yesterday didn't just lose to the Arizona Cardinals, they got just absolutely destroyed. And so they're 2-4. The Eagles are 1-4-1. They have a very winnable game on Thursday against a New York Giants team. When was the last time they lost to the Giants, man? Like 6 years ago? I mean,
it's been quite
2016,
some time.
Right? It's been 4 years. And so the Giants only have one win this year. And so if the Eagles win that football game, we could be talking about a first place team at 2-4-1. So the back and forth conversation today has been, is it playoffs? Do we want the playoffs? Is it worth it? Would we rather have a high pick? Are you concerned about making the playoffs, and would that hold back this team from making long-term, kind of changes, because I think they need it regardless? And so some people were kind of concerned that that might create a complacency with this team. I want to get your thoughts. Like, are you somebody that's really in on, like, do you care about this team making the playoffs in 2020? Are you more focused about the long-term objective and talking about draft position? Like, where's your head at right now at 1-4-1? Normally we'd be looking long-term, but I mean, because of the division we're in, this is a realistic possibility of making the playoffs maybe with 5-6 wins.
Definitely. I mean, what we talked about on the show yesterday, Doug Peterson kind of echoed in his press conference, saying that they're getting a lot of tape on these young guys, mm-hmm. that their leaders are still holding these guys accountable and saying, we're right there, guys. Like, we've been here before. Mm-hmm. And seeing what's going on with Dallas and players ripping their head coach, saying they're unprepared.
Yeah.
You look at this NFC East right now. What team can you see even making the playoffs?
Yeah, the Eagles are the favorite right now.
That's what I would say, Lou. I mean, you're coming off of 2 games, and defensively it wasn't your best effort, but you put up nearly 60 points on 2 of the top 3 scoring defenses in the NFL, mm-hmm. and it's going to turn around when you go against the 16th and the 32nd in Dallas and the Giants, respectively. Right. And then Cleveland is right towards the bottom of the pack as well. They're right around 25, 26. So things are going to get a little easier in terms of the division. But outside of the division, man, that back half of the schedule is going to be tough. But when it's all said and done, Lou, I think you can look towards the future at the same time that you can kind of want this team to make a playoff run, because, right. frankly, they're going to get healthy. They're going to get a lot of these guys back. Deshaun might play on Thursday. Alshon Looks has like a chance it, yeah. to play on Thursday. Avante Maddox has a chance to get back. They're only going to continue to get healthier. And you look at Dallas, who's not going to get healthier, unfortunately. And the Giants, who kind of are the team that they have right now. And frankly, it's not that impressive of a team. And then Washington, I mean, they just lost to the Giants. So it's, I think it's right there for the taking for Philadelphia to win the East. But at the same time, I mean, if the trade deadline approaches and somebody throws you a second round pick and maybe a cast off player for Zach Ertz, I wouldn't say no. But I don't think it's kind of one or the other. I think you're in a good position because, frankly, Lou, you're either going to win the NFC East and be the first team to win it back-to-back years since almost the 90s. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of these young guys continue to get meaningful minutes, which the back half of the schedule, you're going to be playing against another stretch of good teams in Seattle and Green Bay and New Orleans, and evaluating your talent against that competition is going to be huge. And at the same time, you're going to be evaluating some of these veterans that could stick around maybe, or you're going to say, hey, let's do a complete youth overhaul, which frankly, they've kind of been in the last few weeks out of necessity because of injuries. But all in all, I don't think it's a terrible scenario to be in because you're going to see a lot of these young guys go against good competition. Carson Wentz continually is going to, I think he's going to be on this path that he's been on the last couple weeks and just continuing to take over games. And it's good to see what you've seen the last 3 weeks out of the offense. I would love to see the defense turn it around. In terms of the East, I think you can compete, but in the grand scheme of things, man, if you're going to have to defend the Chiefs, which a majority of people saw on national TV yesterday in a Super Bowl matchup, if you even think you could get that far, man, I don't know. I really don't know, but it's the NFC East. It always is just a toss-up at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm glad we kind of have the same mindset here. I think you can kind of have the best of both worlds as well. And it's just, I'm kind of laughing at myself listening to you talk because it's just a crazy conversation that we're having, that a team that's 1-4-1 that has all but two starters out on offense with Wentz and Kelce playing on Thursday and like five backups also out on that side of the football. Like, in almost in no other scenario, 99.999% of every other scenario, this team would not be even close to competing right now. But again, because of the division they're in, yeah, they could make the playoffs and win with five, you know, six wins. They could get this division. And so should we want that? Not if it's going to hold back this team from making long-term changes, but Gino, I think last offseason kind of showed you that a playoff berth won't make this team complacent. I thought you saw Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman want to make a change at the offensive coordinator position, getting rid of Mike Groh, making a change with Carson Walsh, making a change philosophically in how they draft, right? Going with speed, going with upside, you know, getting in a brand new coaching, or I should say medical staff, you know, free agency, they had a different approach. So last year showed that they didn't just, you know, keep it going business as usual, even though they kind of tripped. Now, I don't want to say tripped into the playoffs, but kind of, it's kind of the same setup. Of course, Carson Wentz didn't trip. He carried you into it. So that's why I want it still, is because I don't think it's going to stop them from making long-term changes. I agree with you. You can kind of get the best of both worlds. Right now, you're going to be competing for a playoff berth through your young guys getting that experience and through those young guys trying to get you there. So it's not a bunch of like aging 30-year-olds that are trying to get you into the playoffs, and that's going to stop you from getting a top pick too. You could realistically win this division and still have a top 13 pick. And so I'm with you. It's kind of the best of both worlds. And so, and it's not just that. I really want this playoff berth just for Carson Wentz, man. I mean, you see this guy battling against Baltimore and against Pittsburgh and, you know, trailing in the second half against top five defenses with nothing around him, just dragging them back into contention. I want that game so bad for him that he's been hunting down now for four seasons. And so to get him that playoff experience is just so crucial. And I think it's not going to hold you back from getting all the other things that we want as well long term. And so it's kind of a good position to be in, weirdly, where you can kind of get everything that you want. And then, yeah, like you said, it's a cool look to have back-to-back division titles, a postseason berth in four straight years. So, yeah, I don't think it really is you have to pick A or B. I think you could have everything.
When I look at the overall makeup of this division, I think I'm right in the same mind state that I was prior to the season, saying that the Eagles are set up for the future better than anybody. And currently, I think you're set up for the present better than anybody, because you look at what Dallas put on tape the last few weeks when things have gone against them, when adversity has hit.
They're just not even trying anymore. Like, at least the Eagles are giving it everything they have.
And that's the huge differentiation that is made between Philadelphia and the rest of the teams in this division, and that when adversity does hit, who has been the team time and time again to overcome it? Mm-hmm. It's been Philadelphia. I mean, the first time that Washington overcame adversity was maybe the RG3 days, and look what happened for the past 8 years after that. And then Washington, once they hit to that playoff berth, they haven't been even close to the playoffs in the past 5 years. And then Dallas, I mean, they have everything they need, and unfortunately Dak Prescott goes down, and your defense is just clearly subpar. Right now the Eagles kind of have it for their taking, Lou, and it's not necessarily in a bad way, because it is, because you have young players doing it. You have your franchise quarterback out there just dueling with every quarterback going up against good defenses, and it's reassuring, because you look at these two games against Baltimore and Pittsburgh respectively. When you go to the playoffs, I mean, that's the caliber of team you're going to be playing. So it's promising to see good tape being put out, even when the odds are stacked against you, knowing that you are going to have the reinforcements coming in later in the season.
Yeah, exactly. The fact that your quarterback has you in these games against those kind of opponents with the situation that's around him is just absolutely incredible. And so I'm with you. I look at that and I say, and I still see the experience, playoff experience around this roster and the coaching staff, and say, hey, man, just get this team into the playoffs. Again, if it was going to hold them back from making long-term changes that are best for this organization, if it was going to hold them back from getting a good draft pick, then sure, I would say maybe the playoffs aren't the best thing right now, but you can kind of have your cake and eat it too, and I want that so bad for Carson Wentz in 2020. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri, this is the Locked On Eagles podcast, a Tuesday edition of the show, episode 2 this week. It's stock up, stock down today, so we're going to get into stock up coming up in segment 2. Who looked good against Baltimore? Or who got this team back into that football game against a really damn good Ravens team? Of course, Carson Wentz, the key, the main reason that you almost won that game and had a chance at the end. But who else looked good against Baltimore? Me and Gina will get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Today's Locked On Eagles is sponsored by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch, on Thursdays, Sundays, Mondays, even Tuesdays at this point. Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, Eagles fans, segment 2 of this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. All right, Gino, let's get into some positives. And, you know, we were talking about that in segment 1, how we're feeling pretty good about it's crazy because when you're 1-4-1 and you're just decimated, that's kind of an understatement at this point with the injuries, decimated by injuries. You'd be talking long-term draft position. We'd be talking about college football right now and prospects that this Eagles team should want to draft. But because of their division and a look at their opponents coming up in the NFC East, they could claim first place by the end of this week. And so it's kind of a positive outlook for me right now, and just because of also the way your franchise quarterback and Carson Wentz is playing. But Gino, there's other guys that are looking really good too, and we're going to start here with stock up. Was there one guy outside of Wentz that really stood out to you on Sunday where you're like, okay, a lot of things aren't working with this team, but that player, that coach, whatever, is making me feel really good about things right now?
Yeah, I was going to go with a position group, but I want to just point out three players respectively. And we always know the praise that Jason Kelce gets, but I think Jordan Mailata, Nate Herbig, and Jack Driscoll, in what they have done in the last two games, has been outright, I'd say, solid to good play. And in times when you need this offensive line, who, yes, they do allow a lot of pressures on Carson, but they allow them to make good plays. You just look at last week, Mailata allowed 5 pressures, Herbig allowed 3 pressures, and Driscoll allowed 2. Mm-hmm. Come week 6 against the Baltimore Ravens, Jordan Mailata only allowed 3 pressures. Nate Herbig allowed 0 pressures, and Jack Driscoll only allowed 1 pressure.
Herbig's been awesome, man. Like, all year.
Yeah. You're getting
I'm totally
good play
surprised
out of these offensive linemen who are young. They're players that have had to be developed, which only is another star on the helmet of Coach Stoutland. I mean, if he was playing in college, like for the Buckeyes, he'd have a billion Buckeye stickers all over his helmet, you know, because he's he's done so much and had so much adversity. And hats off to him and his unit and these young guys that went out there and played, because look at what Dallas did yesterday when they had a lot of injuries and a lot of youth have to come into that offensive line. They struggled. I mean, Jack Driscoll, he gets hurt. That's okay. We're going to plug and play Brett Tofu. Even though he allowed two pressures, didn't look terrible in some minutes that he had to play. And I really think Jordan Mailata has a chance to be your left tackle of the future over Andre Dillard. Man.
Isn't that incredible? Like, and this goes to, it's again, it's a testament to Jeff Stoutland. I mean, talk about stock up. This guy, look, heading into the season, the Eagles had an elite offensive unit, right? They have elite players like Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, Brandon Brooks, Isaac Samuel is a really good left guard. And so immediately you're like, offensive line is a strength of this team. But moving forward, there's still questions. I mean, Brooks has a couple Achilles tears. Jason Peters is done after this year. You have no idea what you have in Andre Dillard still. Jason Kelsey mulls retirement every year. And so I was kind of a little on edge or a little uncomfortable with their future up front. But it's kind of based on necessity. You don't want all those guys hurt up front, especially to protect Carson Wentz. But because of that necessity of having to play these young kids, you kind of have a nice glimpse into the future of, okay, we might be okay here. Like you said, I mean, Jeff Stoutland took this blank canvas a couple years ago that was Jordan Mailata. Just raw, crazy physical abilities, but no football experience at all. And he turned this guy into a high-quality left tackle right now, Gino. In three starts, like you said, two sacks allowed, two QB hits, and nine pressures. Jamon Brown allowed more in one game on Sunday. And so if they're about to just find another talented stud left tackle like they did Jason Peters just virtually out of nowhere, I mean, that's just such an incredible story, and especially considering your investment in Andre Dillard in the first round last year, trading up for him, wasn't looking good. A lot of teams, that's going to trip them up for a bit until they find a replacement. The Eagles just had Jordan Mailata waiting in the wings, and he looks awesome. And like you said, Herbig has been good, Driscoll, Matt Pryor. So, you know, it's not just to discredit those young guys, because they've been great on their own in execution. But, I mean, shout out to Jeff Stoutland, man. This guy takes seemingly every young kid up front and makes them quality players. It's just so, it's so impressive.
Absolutely, and that's one of the things that we laud Howie Roseman for, is his ability to adapt in this year, especially when it comes to drafting. But one of the things that Howie has always, and you have to give it to him, been very good at is drafting for the trenches. And not just drafting, finding undrafted guys, finding guys that weren't even football players in Jordan Mailata. And that's one thing. I know Howie gets the short end of the stick on a lot of things, but you can't sit here and tell me that he hasn't brought in quality starters, quality depth pieces, and quality role players in terms of the offensive line in, what now, five straight seasons he's had to do it?
He's done it, and not just at offensive line. Like this, Howie Roseman has done more with late-round picks, undrafted free agents, and lower-tier roster acquisitions. He's done more with those kind of players than I think any GM in the league over the past couple of years. And again, they've had to because they've had to play, but Howie's done an incredible job, and he trusts Jeff Stoutland. He's like, okay, here's Jordan Mailata. He's never played football ever. I'm going to trust you to develop this guy. Go make this kid a football player, and my God, he looks like one.
It's about that time that Howie realizes that, yes, he has some coaches that can do that, and I think Stout has been that one guy. Now, hopefully, Moorhead is that guy for you at the wide receiver
position.
He
looks like it, the way Fulgham has come along and Hightower.
And that's the kind of cohesion that you need. And I think the one thing we see on defense is, I think there's this differentiating factor between what Howie Roseman likes on defense and what Jim Schwartz does in terms of offense. I think they're starting to click. Like, I really
I think they're
all
on the same page. Yeah,
I really do think they are. And even, yeah, you'll miss on some picks here and there, like the JJ pick. But hey, you went out and found a guy like Travis Fulham, and you brought Greg Ward back a few times, and you have guys like John Hightower who, yeah, they're not flashing, but, I mean, a fifth-round pick, he's still doing
open,
meaningful
man.
Things.
If he starts catching the football, I mean, he's getting open consistently each week.
Absolutely, and not just this year, Lou. You look back to last year, too, and the guys that they had to bring in, and you had to bring Richard Rodgers back, and Jason Kroom is a guy that played one snap and has a touchdown. And
Raven Killer Kroom on his Wikipedia page.
this is a skill that Howie has, and we talked about Doug maybe having to have an opener in terms of play calling. hey, maybe Howie Roseman has an opener in terms of drafting, you know, sure. And then he picks day three, which he's been excellent at. And I think that in terms of offense personnel and offense execution, it's been a big uptick the past 3 weeks.
So obviously stock up two to Travis Fulgham, who we mentioned a couple times here. Of course, obviously. We talked about Jordan Mailata, Nate Herbig.
Second highest graded wide receiver,
isn't it? No. Yeah, dude, just listen to some of these numbers. Since week four, Travis Fulgham is first in offensive grades per PFF, first in first downs with 15, second in touchdowns with 3, third in passer rating when targeted at 153.5, fourth in yards with 284, and fourth in catches with 18. He's on pace for over 1,200 yards this year and 13 touchdowns. And Gino, at first, I'm like, all right, let's hold back a little bit. It's only been two games. Like, let's not instantly declare this kid as part of the future of the offense. But it's hard to ignore that he could be the real deal, especially when he's doing all of this against studs like Jason Verrett, who's killing it right now for San Fran, Joe Hayden in Pittsburgh, the Ravens' top three corners, Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith. I mean, Travis Fulgham is doing it against tough opponents, and he's winning in all kinds of different ways in the red zone, contested catches, creating separation and press coverage. He reminds me, he plays a little like Michael Thomas, it looks like, man. I was trying to find a comp earlier today from a really good receiver, and that's kind of his play style. I'm really excited about Fulgham. If this team found their wide receiver one or two of the future through this, I mean, again, we talk about how he just turning water into wine sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, Fulgham, it looks like that's the case, and you got to give credit to, you know, the entire coaching staff, but Fulgham himself, he's just gone out there and, you know, he got an opportunity, and my God, did he make the best of it.
I saw this graphic yesterday, and it was wide receivers that Howie Roseman has passed on in the past few years. And I look at that graphic and I say, yeah, so did 31 other teams. I mean, those guys only land on their respective team because the team falls in love with them. But the thing is, Howie, yeah, maybe the picks aren't flashy, but he brings in guys that are going to contribute. And look at Travis Fulgham, man. That is a talent evaluation gem. And that's exactly why the talent evaluation side to this game is so intriguing to me. It's because, yeah, you have a guy who's from Old Dominion and maybe he can't go out there and go up against some of the better talent. They had an eye for this guy, went out and claimed him. Nate Sudfeld said to Carson that he thought he was the real deal, and now he's developed into a trustworthy receiver that Carson Wentz can work with. And you said you like to comp him to Michael Thomas. He's not just a guy that's lining up in the slot and only going 5 to 7 yards down the field. Sure. He's doing it all over, Lou. I mean, he's averaging almost 15 yards a reception.
Yeah.
He's getting open. He's separating with ease. And that's one of those things that you want to see is young players coming in here and making the best of their roles and their reps, and you haven't seen that in the last couple years. And finally, I think Travis Fulgham has fully deserved to be this wide receiver one for the time being until the hot hand slows down. And when you have Jalen Reagor come back and DeSean Jackson and Alshon, man, it's going to be tough to try and scheme against these guys because out of necessity, you're going to have to play a lot of 11 personnel or 10 personnel, and you're not going to have these two tight ends all the time because Ertz and Goddard are hurt. So a guy like Fulgham and hopefully a guy like Ward and Hightower can continue to contribute in those reps. Man, I think you got a diamond in the rough with Travis Fulgham. He's come out of a small school. He's played against big competition. You listed some of those corners he went against, Lou.
Yeah.
When you're contextualizing things, you want to grade players against the best competition. When you're grading a guy out in college, you don't want to see his week one game against the Citadel. No, you want to see number one Bama versus number three Georgia film,
sure,
you know?
Yeah.
And that's what you kind of seen out of Travis Fulgham in the last couple weeks. San Fran, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, all very good defenses. Man, have fun on Thursday night trying to defend Travis Fulgham, New York Giants defense. It should be a blast. I really think this kid deserves all the credit that he is getting, and you hit it right on the head, Lou. He's doing everything in those metrics that you want to see. He's getting open, separating, trustworthy with Wentz. Mm-hmm. I think you can have listened, if you've listened to this show enough, that's exactly the kind of young receiver that we wanted to bring to Carson Wentz, and it's great to see.
Yeah, I can't wait for Jalen Reagor to get out there too and just see those two together and see
how are you going to defend that, man? It's going to be fun when you're healthy. It really
is. And you're going to get DeSean Jackson back on Thursday. I'm hoping that's the three you roll with for the rest of the season when Reagor can come back. And Hightower sprinkled in there as well because, you know, John Hightower, he dropped another – he made some boneheaded plays against Pittsburgh. He dropped that big bomb on the first drive, but he came back and he – rebounded as a rookie. That's crucial. Nelson Aguilar, it took him 3 years to bounce back from those mental mistakes. When he those, he was just in a rut for weeks. And with Hightower, it took him a couple quarters and boom, hits a 50-yard bomb and continued to create separation. And so that's key for a young player is the ability to have that short-term memory and just move forward. And so with Hightower, with Fulgham, with Reagor, it was looking really bleak, Geno, at receiver for a while. But right now, I mean, I'm pretty hopeful, and especially with the draft position you can have this year and the options you could have in free agency potentially next year, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about it.
Give me the youth. Give me the youth.
That's
I just want to play all the young kids, man. I love it. It's really cool to see
these
young
kids.
Let my
boy Quez Watkins return some kicks too, man.
Yeah, I think you got to get Quez involved in the Yak game more. I mean, that was his bread and butter. He was one of the all-time leading receivers in yards after the catch at Southern Miss. So, I mean, he's a guy you still have to get involved. I still think you could get Boston more involved in the passing game. I still think Corey has a little bit to offer in the passing game. And frankly, without Miles, your effectiveness in the run game has been terrible. I think you just let Carson go out there and really let him play on Thursday night.
Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri. This is Stock Up, Stock Down on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Coming up next, Stock Down. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This edition of Stock Up, Stock Down on the Locked On Eagles podcast is sponsored by RockAuto.com. One reason to repair and to maintain your car is to save money, right? That you can use towards the mortgage or food. Why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are exactly the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. It's a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic, your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and at the same rate for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Like I said, why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck, and make sure you write down Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Today's Locked On Eagles is also sponsored by Built Go, which comes from the same great people that make the best tasting protein bar out there at Built Bar. Built Go, whether it's a physical or mental wall, break through it with Built Go every single day. It's the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling afterwards. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. They have three delicious flavors. My favorite is peanut butter honey. I'm a big peanut butter guy, whether it's for the Built Bar, Built Go, big peanut butter guy, desserts, ice cream, cakes, pudding, anything. It's got to have peanut butter in it. So I like peanut butter honey. They also got chocolate coconut and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. It's loaded with good stuff to ignite my work. Overnights, I work at the radio stations 10:30 p.m. to 5 o'clock a.m. So it's both a mental and physical grind, and Built Go helps me get through it. Visit BuiltGo.com today. Use the promo code LOCKED, L-O-C-K-E-D, and you're going to get 20% off your order, your next order at BuiltGo.com. Again, promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BuiltGo.com. Built Go, let's go. All right, Eagles fans, we're wrapping up this Tuesday edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's Stock Up, Stock Down. All right, Gino, so Stock Up, we talked about Jordan Mailata, Nate Herbig, pretty much the entire youth of the offensive line. Jeff Stoutland, his stock is up. The offensive line coach for the Eagles, Travis Fulgham as well at wide receiver. And then, of course, obviously Stock Up for Carson Wentz, but we're going to get deep into Wentz tomorrow on Wentz Wednesday. Let's talk Stock Down, though. Who were some players, you can say coaches as well, on Sunday against Baltimore that just severely held this team back? I just want to say, number one, I mean, Jaymon Brown is the one guy Jeff Stoutland could not make look good. I mean, He feels like the new Orlando Scandrick this week, too.
Chance Warmack, bro. He's Chance Warmack 2.0.
He's been the enemy of Eagles Twitter this week because there's the videos surfacing of that long play where Wentz is running around with five Ravens in his face, and Brown just stopped blocking to fix his gloves mid-play, and you see the picture of him with Lamar Jackson after the game, and he allowed 2 sacks, 4 hits, and 9 pressures in that game against Baltimore. I mean, I think Brown right now is public enemy number one. His stock pretty much couldn't be any lower.
Absolutely no. I think that's a
Cordy
good
Glenn
one.
Can't be that much worse, right, man? Like, they gotta bring in somebody.
Well, hopefully, I mean, you're
or
gonna get Matt Pryor.
Yeah, that's true.
Their ultimate goal. But ultimately, he kind of stunk. That was ultimately bad.
Clyde Campbell just threw him like he was 10 pounds. It was insane.
I know. Yeah, and that's the one guy that kind of I look at and say, yeah, this is kind of why you play the youth, you know, because he's just a guy that's been around the league a lot and somebody that you kind of just plugged in there because he's had reps before. Man, look at what you're getting out of Driscoll with limited reps, and look at what you're getting out of a guy like Mailata who had limited reps. I think you just continue down that path, and I say put Opeta in there. He graded out fairly well the pass blocking game for the limited snaps that he had at tackle. So, I mean, I think you have other options other than Jamon Brown, man. 9 pressures. Carson was running for his life. That was so bad to watch that kid play.
Any other stock downs you can think of?
Yeah, Jake Elliott and overall.
Man, that's true. You sent me a text of those
numbers.
Yeah,
I want to make this fairly known. I take good pride in the analytics, as people know, and you win in the margins. Like, that's what football is. Like, you win in those 4 to 5 plays, and Doug Peterson said it the other day, and you have to kind of capitalize in the rest of the margins. So this is one thing that I brought up on the show the other day. We need to start looking at the idea of kicking the ball into play on kickoffs more. So I went and did the math. So Jake Elliott has had 31 kickoffs this season, 24 of which have been touchbacks. So we know the rule for touchbacks is that the ball automatically goes to the 25-yard line. So we want to put the team behind the 25-yard line. So for the 7 kicks that Elliott put into play, 2 of which were either an onside or a squib. So we took those out of the equation completely. So on the other 5, so if you're following the math, there are 5 that were kicked into play and returned. These were the following yard lines where the players returned the ball to: the 23, the 24, the 18, the 24, and the 37. So if you look at statistics, you take the 37 and throw that outlier away. Mm-hmm. Even with the outlier, it's at 25.2 yards. But without the outlier, it's 22.25 yards. So if you're going to sit here and say 100% of the time you want to give the ball to the opposing team at the 25, go ahead and kick a touchback. Right. But no, why would you not want to put the team in worse field position? You have seen how a poor return game with Boston Scott and Greg Ward puts us behind the eight ball. We just need to start doing that to other teams. Because if you're going to tell me 80% of the time we can put a team behind the 25 on a kickoff, I think we need to do that a little more. And yes, you'll have the outliers here or there of big returns, but Dave Phipp, somebody who gets his guys ready to play, they're, I would say, one of the more, I would say, strict and sound to their roles in terms of the return game. Why not let your guys go out there and play well in the return game, like Singleton and these other guys who excel at it? Let the team take it out. Give them a chance to get it behind the 25, because you've seen how many times Carson Wentz has been backed up and had trouble advancing his team's position. We need to do that to other teams, because frankly, a lot of the reason we're allowing 30 points a game is because of the field position we're giving teams. You need to win in the margins, and that's definitely one of the things that Dave Phipp, for as good and as smart of a special teams coach as he is, he needs to address that, because I think there is some money to be made in that area, I would say.
Great point, Gino. I agree. Special teams just all around stock down, and that includes Boston Scott and Corey Clement. I'm going to say, like, with Miles Sanders out a week or two now, we got to see some life out of those two on Thursday, man. This team did not sign any veteran running backs.
Mason Huntley might be an option, too.
Yeah, Huntley, or who knows, with Killings and Holyfield as well. But I'm just disappointed, because I saw what Scott did at the end of last year, and maybe Corey Clement, this is just who he is, but I want him so badly to be better, just because he's that Super Bowl hero, and it's fun to always see him out there, and it brings you back to Super Bowl 52. But you watch him on the field, man, there's just no explosiveness, there's just no efficiency, and they're going to have their opportunities the next couple weeks here. But right now, so far, I mean, I've just seen no life out of either one of them, and I'm hoping that changes.
I definitely do too. And we talked about these young players coming up and taking control of their roles, like at wide receiver with Fulham. I don't think we've seen that at either running back two or three position, because frankly, it's been the Miles Sanders show. He's third in rushing in the league. Carson Wentz is your RB two, it seems, yeah, right now.
He's on pace for like 400 rushing yards this year.
Yep. And hey, Jalen Hurts, if they get him in for as many snaps as they're planning, man, he might be your legitimate like number two rushing option at the moment.
Explosive runner right now.
There's a fair chance, but hey, creativity wins football games, Lou. Yep. And I think they're going to start to address those marginal areas, like playing Jalen Hurts more. And I think for the good of the team that it's one of the things you want to do. But also, I would like to see a kid like Huntley, who you spent a draft pick on, or a guy like Holyfield, if he does get some snaps, go out there and succeed. And hey, if Boston Scott and Corey Clement can't get it done for another week, it might be time to shake things up back there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Gino. Tomorrow, Wednesday on Locked On Eagles, Gino will sit down with Locked On Giants host Patricia Traina for Crossover Thursday. So, of course, the game is on Thursday night. We'll have that podcast dropped for you early in the morning for your commute to work. And then we'll have the game recap on Thursday night. So that's what's coming up this week on the Locked On Eagles podcast. So we've got a bunch more episodes this week. Be sure to subscribe on any podcast platform, or you can always check all these shows out on LockedOnEagles.com. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. This has been the Locked On Eagles podcast, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.